Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All Bills, all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Credit to the Dolphins. We didn't play well enough today.
Here's the snap. Pitch play left to Cook. Gets through a hole. Darting into the secondary. And he fumbled the football. It's loose at the 10-yard line. Still fumbled and loose. And the Dolphins scoop it up.
I gotta be better. Starts with a better week of practice. Watch this one, learn from it. Get on to next week.
Pitch play to the left to Achan. He's got some room. He's through a hole, and he's gonna walk into the end zone for a 35-yard touchdown run, and that will do it.
You know, we should be able to move the ball with Josh through the air, but it can't just be one phase of your offense. It's got to be two working, you know, in concert with one another.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Big win to start the day. I'll tell you about my small win that maybe is a good omen. You might have to do something similar today. You're going to go outside. If your car is not in the garage, if your truck's outside, snow. My truck was parked over the weekend in one spot. Here we go. Am I going to have to scrape? Is this going to be a, I'm out here, I'm not prepared for snow, no gloves, probably not dressed enough. Am I going to have to scrape? Hit those wipers, gone. Big win. Taking that dub. I'm taking that win today. The wipers did it in one swipe. Did not have to exert myself at 5 in the morning in the dark, in the snow, in the cold. Hey, the first snow falls on the ground. And that's not really relevant to anything, but I'm taking that win anyway. I want that win. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday. It is not a Victory Monday. We had one of those last week. This is not a Victory Monday. This is a just regular Buffalo Bills Football Monday. And we will talk about everything Bills with you. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. All right. We didn't dream that. That was not just a dream. The Bills got hammered by the Miami Dolphins. They got blown out by the Miami Dolphins. They got absolutely whooped by the quarterback that is the punchline of every Buffalo sports fan's joke, by the head coach that is the butt of every Buffalo sports fan's joke, by a team that had traded away a lot of good players or lost some good players, traded away their best pass rusher. Halfway through this game, I said, thank goodness the Dolphins can't rush the passer or else this game could get ugly. And then it was ugly anyway. Wow. Rough one for the Bills. They will probably point to turnovers. And if you listen to this show, you know me. You know that I think turnovers are almost always overrated. And there's good reason for that, whether it's anecdotal or we can actually dig deep enough, far enough into some numbers that I won't do right now. The Bills were down 13-0 while winning the turnover battle. 13-0. They're already in a hole. And they got beat by a Dolphins team that went the length of the field on them on long, plodding drives. They got beat by a Dolphins team that hit them with explosives. And many of the fundamental problems that you have with the Bills were about as big of a problem as they have been all season long. And there are a couple things that, you know, each of us like to key on. Maybe you're about the offensive coordinator. Maybe you're about the run defense. Maybe you're at Terrell Bernard. Who knows? Maybe you're at Josh Allen, Joe Brady. There's a lot of people today that are going to no doubt catch some. Maybe, of course, you're after Brandon Bean, and we got to get to the story about the Bills' pursuit of Jaylen Waddle, which was reported widely over the course of yesterday before the game, with many believing that the Bills would have leaked that story to kind of lower the pressure on themselves for not getting a deal done. We'll get into that and explain that. But, man, to lose like this, I think the word of the day or the word of the year, and if we want to psychoanalyze ourselves, we can, but we'll save that for Tuesday. This team is so unsatisfying. And is that a high bar? Maybe. But even the wins, several of the wins, you watch and say, like, man, it is not often a pretty operation that they have from their offense. They beat the Carolina Panthers 40-9, and many people come out unsatisfied. Oh, geez, you know, Josh is running around. Everything looks really hard. Thank goodness you could run the ball. They beat the Chiefs, and that's always good to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They did that, but even after that, it was, all right, well, you know, 28-21, that thing got a little close. You played near perfect. You won by 7. I don't know. Why did you put that game away? You know, the standard is high. There's no doubt about that. But, man, watching this offense go, I posted a Twitter poll about Joe Brady midweek, late week, do you want him back? Forget about whether they win, whether he gets a job, whether he gets fired. Do you want him running the offense again? And that Twitter poll was split, about 33 aside, yes, no, and not sure. And I'm here to tell you that I'm going to be satisfied if this is the final season. I'll let it play out, see how it goes. Maybe they win the Super Bowl. Maybe they find their magical formula. Maybe Josh Palmer returns. But the offense, to me, is just really a tough watch. The passing game has been a tough watch for most of the last 2 years. There have been some games, but, man, the passing game has been tough. And whether you're someone that just watches football casually or trusts the film people or whatever it is, but you see what Josh Allen has kind of become, and he can be the dink dunker. He can be the manage the game guy. And if they don't turn the ball over, they're going to win their 13 games. And the offense is going to be the most efficient and the highest scoring in franchise history, which it wasn't, because if you go by per game, 2 years, 3 years before, they were higher scoring. Like, all these kind of false idols to worship. And you watch it and think, all right, I guess. And now what do I have in an offense? I've got an offense that's missing Dalton Kincaid. I've got an offense that's, without Josh Palmer, can't operate. The thing that I kind of can't get past is, try to help me understand how you could have one of the top three quarterbacks in the league, top two, top one, pick your number, universally accepted that he's a top three quarterback with an offensive line perfectly built and a run game that is among the best in the league. You have those things, and you can't throw the ball. I kind of want to say, how bad do you have to be at throwing the ball to not be able to throw the ball? And, you know, Sean McDermott, that's not his side of the football, but the number of times I hear complimentary, two-dimensional complimentary, like this, to me, is another false idol to worship. You have to be good. You have to be complimentary. Maybe it helps. I'm sure it helps. But they had so many wins over the last 6 years where I do not even remember if they were complimentary, and I don't know if you did either. There is not some magical run at 25, pass at 25 formula, which is something that Pete Carroll probably said somewhere along the way. This offense acts like they have to thread some invisible needle that we don't know all the boxes that they've got to check. How could you be this bad passing the ball when you're this good running the ball? And if all a team has to do while playing a skeleton squad that's supposed to be checked out, you got corners on the field that are practice squad guys, and they can shut down your passing game. That's incredible. Anyone else have their first Curtis Samuel sighting in the game as he's running after James Cook's fumble and remembering, oh, yeah, that guy's on the team. Curtis Samuel, $9 million a year, AAV, to just be what, a bit player? Elijah Moore, same thing, like off the street post-draft because, you know, they were short at that position. And he'll catch a pass or two, but their passing offense is lost. And can they get it back? Can they recover? To what? It's going to be tougher and tougher to believe with each of these games that looks like this, especially against substandard competition. I mean, tougher and tougher to believe that they can win something significant. And we might be looking at the first time in a long time where they will not win the division. They are really in a hole now. New England goes out and wins on the road in Tampa. And I have some thoughts on that because maybe you've seen some of the highlights. Maybe you haven't, but I've read a couple stories there. And I'm remembering a time, and it's an overreaction Monday. Let's overreact. I'm remembering a time where the Bills had a player that was fiery, motivated, demanded your best, and he plays for New England now. And I saw some of the stuff he did yesterday, and they need him. They need him bad. They need somebody like him again that gets mad. They need somebody to be upset. They need somebody to demand people demand their best. So I'll get you that. Frustrating. Frustrating loss. I know a lot of you out there are frustrated as well. You can join us on the YouTube stream. You can join us online, on the app, on the radio, wherever you are. Just give us a call. 803-0550. Jerry and Joe, back to it. By the way, Joe's off today. Joe's on a flight on his way back from Miami. We'll have to get his review of the entire Miami experience tomorrow, when he's in tomorrow. And he got to see a terrible game, like one of the worst games that the Bills have had since the Houston game. I think it's the Houston game all over again. And one last thing before we get some calls and, you know, get your reaction. We're all just gonna, you know, bounce it off each other here. I'm so nervous for the Bills' lesson and takeaway in that game to be the takeaways. Without the takeaways, without Miami's takeaways, without the Bills' careless turnovers and fumbles and picks, I think the Bills do win the game, and I don't think the conversation is much different. The conversation gets then to, man, thank goodness they were able to come back and beat a Miami team that's dreadful. A Miami team that is not only dreadful this season, I just laid out the Tua and the Mike McDaniel thing, they're also a team whose entire franchise identity is literally they never beat anybody good. That's what everybody knows about them. For 3-4 years, they don't beat anybody that's good, and they just waxed you, and they were doing it before you started giving the ball away. Had the Bills not fumbled, had Allen not thrown that pick, they probably come back and win that game. The comeback was right there for them, and they kind of gave it away. So if they don't give it away without those turnovers, do they win the game? I think they probably do. And I'd be sitting here, I know, taking some calls, talking about, they got in the 13-0 hole? They got shut out for three quarters? Man, rough. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And then, of course, I want to tell you about, like, along the way, some of the positives and where the red flags are there as well. They're down 16-0. They start the second half with a drive that goes 14 plays for 77 yards and 9 minutes. Even if they had scored, 9 minutes is this Super Bowl 25's drive to keep it away from Thurman Thomas. This team is slow. They're slow in how they run their routes. They're slow. They're going tempo at some different points in this game. Thank goodness they had to go tempo, because some of these drives go 9 minutes. The drive to start the fourth quarter, end of the third, start of the fourth quarter, is another very long drive. They actually get things going quickly enough once they just run out the clock on the third quarter. Man, 803-0550. All right, we'll get some phone calls in. I'm, as maybe you can tell, all over the place. You've got issues on offense. You probably have issues on defense. I got so many injuries on that side of the ball. You've got some problems, but they're just missing half their team. And the Jaylen Waddle story is, it's going to be interesting. Jaylen Waddle and Quinnen Williams, they were after those two guys. But those two teams did not want to deal in their division. That's the story told to Tom Pelissero and others. By who? You decide. Mike in Connecticut will lead us off. Hey, Mike, good morning. Happy Buffalo Bills Football Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To pass, looking right, going deep for Waddle. Coverage is there, and is it picked off? Yes, picked off by Cole Bishop. The safety in coverage. What a couple of weeks for the second year safety. A takeaway for Buffalo. Looking right, now left, going deep down the sideline for Coleman. Back shoulder complete, reaches for the pylon. He's in for the touchdown. Keon Coleman with a huge touchdown grab. Tua back to pass, heaves it deep down the middle of the field, looking for Waddle, and it's intercepted by Maxwell Hairston. He's up on his feet to the 25, to the 30. Flag on the play, and he's tripped up at the 38-yard line.
I think Joe Kelly's trying to make people feel a little better this morning, that's all. Playing all good stuff, all highlights, right?
Maybe a bit.
Hey, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that on a Buffalo Football Monday. We need something to pick us up a little bit today, right? How about the fact that like people are off tomorrow from work or school, maybe, right? That could be. You have a one day, then you have off, right? It's like taking my son into school this morning, and I'm like, you only have to go to school today, then you have off tomorrow, basically. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm like, well, then you got to go back for 3 days. He's like, and then it's Thanksgiving. I'm like, no, it's for a couple weeks from now. Right? It's all good. Joe Kelly producing right there. Those are calls from the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, courtesy of the Buffalo Bills Radio Network here on WGR. And Chris Brown on the calls right there. Cole Bishop interception. Keon Coleman touchdown. Maxwell Hairston interception as well. But few and far between actual highlights from the game yesterday, 30-13. The Bills lose to the Miami Dolphins. We're going to talk about it here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let me get everything out of the way early here. All right, because it is a Buffalo Football Monday. We got a lot to get to, a lot to say, and a lot of calls. And of course, every Buffalo Football Monday is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premium Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. We will get to Sit Up, Stand Down, Hey Buddy way later in the show. First big chunk of the show, especially the first full hour. It's about your calls after I give you some thoughts on what happened in South Florida yesterday. 803-0550 is the number to call. I'm just going to say this today, like, you call, you talk today. Like, that, you know, we do it every week anyway, and you're always really great about it, and we get a lot of great calls. And I had a lot of people texting me last night saying, I can't believe it. You're going to take these calls. Good luck tomorrow. All these calls. No, you guys are great on Monday. Win or lose, I've enjoyed the space we've created here on a Monday to talk about the team and the game and the organization, whatever. And it doesn't mean we have to agree all the time. We can debate, we can discuss, but you know, my job here is to give you the forum, give you the platform. And I always say this, as long as you're respectful and you do it the right way, you can call up and, you know, what we try not to do is just, oh my God, you know, Towering Infernos, you know, versus Super Bowl parades, right? I mean, there's always a space in between. But I think Towering Infernos today probably is what you're, and what I mean by that is like, you're hot and you want fire and brimstone and you want people fired, you want changes and all that. And I get it. And you want to call up and talk about that today, you can do that. You know, but let's try to get to a good spot of, you know, moving forward and what needs to happen, because this football team is in danger right now. They're in danger. And if you want to talk about it on the phone lines, we got it. Or if you want to join us on the YouTube and Twitch stream, we can do that as well. And hello to the bullpen, as always, on a Monday. Thank you very much for joining us at the WGR 550 YouTube page. Got a lot of people in there. Black Cloud AC, James, Steven, Vlad, Tony, Dan, Chudley. Thank you very much. Nick, D-Baz. So I just want to say hi. Darius, all of you, thank you so much for coming aboard. We've got a great community there. If you want to join in the chat, if you don't want to call, you just want to get in there, we can do that as well. Okay. 30-13. If you would have told me the score of the game, the Buffalo Bills against the Miami Dolphins, was going to be 30-13, I would have said, absolutely, that makes total sense to me. Bills are going to go to Miami. They're going to crush a 2-7 football team that just fired their general manager. They're kind of playing out the season. They have their quarterback calling people out and players-only meetings, and the head coach seems like he's kind of lost at press conferences. This team is, they're a rudderless ship. They're going nowhere. The Bills are going to go put their foot down. They're going to stop them 30-13. I'll even say this, okay? If you told me the Dolphins would score the first 13 points of the game and the final score would be 30-13, I might actually think the Bills would score 30 straight points and come back and win. That's how confident I would be that the Buffalo Bills would crush the Miami Dolphins on a Sunday afternoon in sunny, hot South Florida. It's not what happened. It's not what happened at all. From the jump, we heard this from players in the locker room, and this is a big issue. Deion Dawkins, Josh Allen, Daquan Jones, Spencer Brown, several players in some form or another said they wanted it more. They played harder than us. Folks, that's unacceptable. It is unacceptable. You can't have that. And I'm actually glad that they said it out loud, because when it comes from your own locker room, when it comes from the leaders on your team, it should mean more to how you to respond. It should be, that should be personal to you, to every person in that locker room, including the guys who said it, right? It wasn't even if the Miami Dolphins played harder than the Buffalo Bills, even if the Miami Dolphins wanted it more than the Buffalo Bills, which is terrible to say and think about, and oh my God, I can't believe that in that situation. Even if that's the case, the Buffalo Bills should have still beaten the Miami Dolphins and what they had on the field, talent-wise. And they didn't do that. And they came home, and I did, after a sunny 80-degree day, getting on that airplane, and then walking off the plane with the snow and the wind flying at you, and I didn't know. Joe Cali, I did not know I was supposed to put my wipers up so it wasn't a freeze on my windshield when I got back to the airport. But that's what, I'm like, why didn't I know that? I couldn't believe it.
It happens sometimes. I wasn't expect. It wasn't supposed to snow as much as it has.
Right.
So it. I do not fault you on that.
So you're like, I'm like 4 hours after the game. It's 80 degrees. Get on the plane. Come back here. Snow. Just fall in. Be careful getting off the ice and walk in. Get to the car. And I'm like, oh my God, I should have put the wipers up. And that's adding insult to injury, I guess, right? To think about the state of mind that you're in.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you kept it together. I would have been in shambles if that happened to me.
Well, I'm trying to keep it together today. That's why I want to hear from you. But, folks, seriously, even if that were the case, the Miami Dolphins played a little harder. They played harder. They wanted it more, whatever. You're still the Buffalo Bills. You have Josh Allen. You're the number one rushing team in the league. They're one of the worst rushing defenses in the league. They are depleted in the secondary. They're giving up big time, you know, yards per play against the pass. Just go do your thing anyway. And then you walk away from it and go, you know what? We didn't play our best football, but we still won the game. Didn't happen. Now, I'll be the first. I know. I've said this many times, and it's true. And I hope you understand. Like, it is tough. It is tough to always, for 17 straight games, be the most energetic, up for every game, amped up, whatever, on a 1 year basis. And then you go year to year and you win, you win championship, division championships, you get to the playoffs every year, have the success, you get like the success fatigue where it kind of doesn't matter. What do they say about the Chiefs? Well, they only care about the postseason, right? You have this conversation in Kansas City probably a lot. I get all that. But in this situation against that team, that can't happen. It just can't happen. And then if it does happen, you still have enough talent to win, but they didn't. Why? Let's talk about the X's and O's, all right? I'm looking at the official game book right now. Oh, you know what? I can do this on the camera, on the stream. I can show you, actually. This is the official game book. There you go, okay? If you're looking on the stream, this is the offense and defense, starting offense, starting defense. This is what we get after the game they put out there that you can find online, too, by the way. But I'm looking at this for a specific example. On defense, the Miami Dolphins started 4 down linemen and 3 linebackers. Okay? There you go. Oh, and you want to zoom in again? I'll show you what I mean. Just so I can get an idea so people can see. There we go. They started 4 down linemen and 3 linebackers. We call that a base defense. Okay. Why am I pointing that out to you? Because right when the game started, okay, I asked Spencer Brown, did the Miami Dolphins do anything different He said, you don't first play of the game, they come out in base, not in nickel. I said, okay, and I'm thinking about that. The Miami Dolphins made a conscious decision in this game to say, we are going to take away what the Buffalo Bills do best. And what the Bills do best is not throw the ball with MVP Josh Allen. What they do the best is run the ball with James Cook. And the Miami Dolphins said, we are going to do whatever we can to make sure you cannot run the ball because we're not really afraid of you throwing it on us. Three linebackers, not nickel, not an extra defensive back. In what universe am I living in where the game plan against the Buffalo Bills offense is to force Josh Allen to beat you? And it's not a Josh Allen point. He could be better. He hasn't been great. This passing game is struggling big time. He had the most time to throw in his career yesterday, according to Next Gen Advanced Stats. Now, a lot of that is because he scrambled around a couple of plays, and that bakes into that, but overall. And it still was a struggle to get guys open downfield, for guys to get open downfield. You know, you could tell me all you want. This is on Joe Brady. I'm here for it. That's fine. Everybody deserves blame. Sean McDermott and his staff deserve blame for them not, you know, being ready and prepared. But again, I think that they generally do a very good job of, on a week-to-week basis, being prepared in each game as its own entity. But this week was not that, right? So you can go there. You can blame Joe Brady all you want. That's fine. Scheme this, scheme that. I've said multiple times this morning, I just recorded a podcast, and I said this earlier on with Jeremy, and I'm going to say it again here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I am the worst artist in the world. Like, I draw stick figures, okay? Like, literally, if you said, could you draw this? No, I can't do it. I draw stick figures. You could give me and bring to me an incredible painter, an incredible artist, I should say, a teacher, an art teacher, to work with me on a weekly basis. And I don't even think I'm going to get much better. It's just, at some point, as much as you can blame or want to point at Joe Brady, that's fine. It is his job to scheme open. It is the people he is trying to scheme open that have to do it. Right? So it's all baked in there. And then it's up to the quarterback to trust that, to pull the trigger when those guys are open. And all of that is happening. It's not one thing. Defense had a couple struggles yesterday, no doubt, especially late in the game. They were gassed. I'm putting this one more on the offense, even though the defense did give up. Max Harrison got beat by Jalen Waddle deep. He gets beat by Waddle a little bit later. Yes, he had an interception. I do like the way the secondary's coming together. Cole Bishop with another, you know, interception, but they gave up a couple big plays. The run game gave up a couple big plays. But you are not in that position if the offense does their job early. Okay, get to my last point here about all of this, all right? And the roster and the team and where they are. And then I'll get to your phone calls, I promise. I just told you the blueprint is out on the Bills, right? Which is, I think, take away James Cook, dare the passing game to beat us, and they can't do it. I'm also going to say this, and this is on the heels of it. The Buffalo Bills are not built to be able to play a game of catch-up. They're not built to play a game of chase. And Sean McDermott was right when he said that yesterday. He said after the game, we had to chase the game. Yeah, they can't play chase. Do you know what happened against Kansas City? They scored first. They scored early. Kansas City came down, I think, was it a tie game maybe? Either way, the Bills were never not at least in control of that game in some respect. They were in control. Miami was in control of this game. The Bills can't play a game where they aren't in control. They were not really in control against Baltimore until they got a couple breaks go their way late in the game, and then they made their points, and they did what they had to do late in the game, and that was nice. And you could say, oh, there it is. And Joe Brady said, hey, we can throw it when we need to throw it. And that happened, all right? But generally, like, this team is not built to do that. They have to control the game. That's why they try to run the ball the way they do. They try to run the ball so they can control the game. And then score by doing that and throwing it when they need to in those situations, and you're getting good down and distance, which they didn't do because first and second down was not good. And they can't. They can't play like that. If the Buccaneers come here next week and they're up 10-0 early, that's a really, really, really bad news for the Bills. In years past, I wouldn't think it as much. If the Bills get up 10-0, it's really good news because they can play by controlling the game. That's what they can do. But they have to do that. They have to be in that position and put themselves in that position. And you don't put yourself in that position when you punt early on fourth down and think that, okay, we'll just play a defensive game and then things come right down and they score. You don't do that when you fumble the ball away, when you throw the ball to the other team. They couldn't. 803-0550 is the number to call here in the
Check-In is presented by the University of Wyoming. You're ready for any field with the University of Wyoming, a proud partner of the Buffalo Bills. And Josh Allen yesterday in a pass-happy second half to try to climb back into the game, 28 of 40 for 306 yards, 70% completion, two touchdowns through the air, and a pick. He had a 98.5 rating. He also ran for 31 yards in the game and actually moved into fourth place on the team's all-time rushing list, passing Joe Cribbs. So, there you go. That's your QB check-in.
It's amazing. That may be one of his – that's probably his second-best statistical day of the year.
Right.
You know, first one being probably Baltimore at the beginning of the season. But, you know, that's crazy, man. That's why stats don't mean jack. You know, I mean, just – you can – they look – they
Monday's statement of the day, stats don't mean jack.
I mean, golly, Josh, you know, whatever. What are you going to do? Josh comes out and at the end of it, if you'd have said before the game, think about it. If you said he was 28 of 40 for 70%, 306, two touchdowns and a pick, you think, we're going to win that game.
Converted a fourth and 16. That was crazy. Let's get back to the phones and to Steve in Virginia. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, I got a question. How soon can the Bills, like, say, for example, like this past Sunday where we played the Chiefs, like, what was the soonest they could get down to Miami and start practicing?
Well, if they had a facility set up and ready for them, they could do it. They could fly straight from the game. They can do it whenever they schedule it. It's not like they would decide at last minute that's what they were going to do. They would plan that well ahead of time, and they could do it in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Okay, because the reason why I'm asking, because I've noticed yesterday, I mean, just seeing Josh and a lot of the players, they look physically exhausted from the heat, and it looked like, I mean, obviously the previous one where we lost a few years ago, I know it was, like, incredibly hot. You know, I know from my time being in the Marines, like, certain times of day, like, we didn't go out and run just because, hey, how hot and humid it was. So I was just wondering, like, do you think it's something, you know, the coaches should do? It's like, hey, maybe let's try to get there a little bit sooner, have the guys get used to the heat and humidity, so that way maybe the heat isn't such an impact. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I'll say this. There's so much that goes into getting ready for it. I think because of the logistics, not even the logistics, just the routine that guys thrive in, you don't want to go and live in a hotel for 6 days and go through different meeting rooms, different setups. Guys have their routines where they can watch film on their own, where they can watch film with a certain group of guys, and then to go down to another, to a hotel or a college campus or whatever, live there and find a different way to do all of that, it would affect your ability to prepare as well as you prepare most weeks. Now, certainly they stunk it up yesterday, but that doesn't mean, you know, they weren't, that, you know, it was because their routine was disrupted or whatever. But you don't want to get out of that routine because it's worked, right? So I don't think there's too much about it that's counterproductive outside of the heat that makes you not want to do that. You got a huge building full of us. It's fully staffed. And I get you can take your staff down there, but they'd be adjusting on the fly as well. There's just so much that goes into it morning, noon, and night that I don't think you'd get the benefit out of it that you would just flying home, being here, getting up and doing your stuff, and then flying home. And in fact, if it were me, if that was your case, I would fly in as late as possible for the game rather than early as possible. Because you get late, your body kind of takes over and you say, let's go. You just go in, fly there, get a quick sleep. Get up and play the game would be a better way to do it rather than going earlier and earlier, because I think it's the disruption of all your other preparation would supersede any hydration and rest you would get by being there.
To Jim in Florida next. What's up, Jim?
Hey, thanks for calling. I
I had one really irritating situation, I think, during that game amongst others. But the one that bothered me the most was the decision at the end of the first half with the Bills had somewhere 25 to 30 seconds left, and they decided to kneel down. I remember losing a game with a team that had gave a quarterback 13 seconds, and they did real good. I was really disappointed. I don't understand why you wouldn't use every second to try to score as much as you could. So that was the main – it really disturbed me because it was a decision that it just says that we're not going to score or something. I don't understand.
Are you talking about the end of the third quarter?
No, the end of the –
end of the first half.
The end of the first half.
Yeah, 33 seconds left. Ty Johnson runs off right tackle for 2 yards and gets tackled with 20-something seconds left. He didn't get the first down. So
right.
It's 4th and 3, and you're on your own 27-yard line.
If you run a play and you don't get the first down, Miami
comes on the field and kicks a field goal.
Now it's 19-0.
That's why.
Yeah, they knelt down so that they didn't take a chance on not getting the fourth down conversion and giving Miami points. That's the reason. I get what you're saying. You're right, but in a normal situation, if they weren't in field goal range, there's no question they would have gone for it because they've been historically they're very good in the last 2 minutes of the first half.
Yeah.
But yesterday when they couldn't get it on a third and short.
It's a 3rd and 5. They run for 2 yards.
They were 0-for-6 at halftime yesterday on third down.
Yeah.
0-for-6.
And I think they finished like 5-for-15.
5-for-15. And it was not going well for them. So they did not have any faith, and rightfully so, that they were going to go 1-of-1 on fourth.
Get in field goal range. They'd have to run like another play maybe even after that.
Right.
So and then hustle up there.
I get it what you're saying, but at that spot on the field on that point in the game, I can't get upset about it. I know you are, and you and I get it. Everything was disgusting about that moment in the game. we were all looking for the remote at halftime of that game.
First time they were shut out in 36 games.
Right. So I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, Jim from Florida, but
Take
a deep breath, and you understand why. Get it.
To Jeff in New Jersey before the break. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, gentlemen. First-time caller. Thanks for the opportunity. Sure. I actually grew up in Buffalo, Amherst, and we've been gone since I was 12. Huge Bills fan, 3 boys, all diehard Bills fans. I've done quite a bit of coaching in the past, still do, at different levels. But this team, I mean, obviously we have a salary cap issue beyond belief. But you look at our linebackers, if the Bills are going to play a team that has a good running back, let's take the Eagles, Saquon Barkley, the Colts, these teams, how are they going to stop the run? Milano, it looks like he's on roller skates. He can't separate from blocks. Bernard appears to be way too small. I mean, if they're going to win a Super Bowl, they got to stop the run. Even the Lions have a heck of a running game. So what are they going to do about linebacking? And wide receiver is a whole other story. I mean, they're clearly not getting separation. When's Palmer going to come back if he's even the man? They have to have a deep threat. I mean, poor Josh Allen. He does not have a receiver to throw to, period. Do something with the salary. Milano's, I think, what's he make? Third. Knox, I think, is the second highest paid player on the team. Anyways, it looks like he'll get some playing time. But that's, I could talk for hours. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, sure thing. I'll just say that at the linebacker position, you got who you got. Maybe Shaq Thompson gets back from his hamstring injury this week, and he's a little bit more of a stout run defender, maybe the stoutest of the bunch. So that would help if he can get back in the lineup, particularly on base defense. And then with respect to the rest of the crew, you got who you got. The cavalry's not coming this year. Now, I will say this. It's a very good linebacker draft this year, and I would be inclined to think they're going to draft at least one. Matt Milano's a free agent after this year, and maybe with him no longer here, maybe you transition Terrell Bernard to the weak side and draft a middle linebacker who is more stout. and can hold up better in there against the run. I'm just spitballing here.
You
did, but
you mentioned Milano's contract.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's something to that, I guess. Particularly when you're talking about run defense, it starts at the D-line and goes right to the linebackers. They've got to make. They've got to be there. And I get it, too, the getting on board with the wide receiver train and all that. It's Josh Palmer. I think Josh Palmer will make a difference, but
he was very close this week. I think he's got problem, a good chance to be back.
The problem
this
is
week.
Now Josh Palmer's back, but Kincaid is not. I mean,
yep.
That's been the entire story of this regular season so far for the Bills, on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
Particularly with this everybody eats mentality on offense. You start losing guys out of it. Now, on one hand, it's like, well, okay, just plug another guy in. But man, oh man, you need the guys you want to line up to be able to line up health-wise, and they have not done that at all. Not as bad as the defensive line has been, but still the wide receivers have been, you know, Elijah Moore, Joshua Palmer have been in and out. Now Kincaid's been in and out. And it's one thing after another on that side of the ball. And it's frustrating. There's no excuse for it because the offense has continued to play at whatever level it has. Yesterday, notwithstanding, they've been a really good offense even so. But if you're looking for the reasons they struggle at any given point, that's the first place my eyes go to is who's in and out of the lineup.
Yeah. We got to take a break, but we'll close it up with one more segment here. See if we can get some thoughts on the tweet sheet next on one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bills Live. Tua back to pass. Heaves it deep down the middle of the field looking for Waddle, and it's intercepted by Maxwell Hairston. He's up on his feet to the 25, to the 30. Flag on the play, and he's tripped up at the 38-yard line.
One of the highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Chris Brown on the call there. He joins me now on the Western Hotline, part of this Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Well, Chris, you know, we live our lives in the NFL, and I guess we should be less surprised when it happens like this, but beat the Chiefs, lose to the Dolphins, week-to-week league. I know we all know that, but it doesn't really make it much better on a day like today. The Mafia is upset after the performance the Bills put in Miami, which was a dud. It's a low point of the season, I believe.
Yeah, it's a stinker. They laid an egg down there, and I'm just going to give some measure of credit to the defense, which played supremely shorthanded again, and then shortly into the game, even more shorthanded. I mean, they played with three defensive ends for 90% of the game. Daquan Jones played defensive end for the first time since 2021. And then when he did it back then, it was in a 3-4 defense as a 5-tech. You know, you've got your dime defensive back playing nickel, your bench corner playing dime DB. So I just thought the defense battled when they were asked to, after turnovers in particular, and essentially held them to 16 points when the game was still a game. The offense just did not show up.
Yep.
And look, I think the blueprint, at least teams believe they have a blueprint now, going off Atlanta film, going off Miami film. If you shut down Buffalo's run game and you tackle well, you know, no yards after initial contact, you can slow down the number one offense in football.
Chris Brown joining us here on the Western Hotline. All right, so the defense, let's get to a couple of bright spots. I mean, another couple of bright spots here for Cole Bishop and Maxwell Hairston. Like, I do think the secondary is coming together. You mentioned, like, what they've got going on up front, and even, you know, being down Taron Johnson and Christian Benford. I've got two young guys back there that look pretty good, and if I'm taking anything out of this game that's positive, it's that when the defense does get healthy, I think I'm counting on both Bishop and Hairston to be two of my primary playmakers with this group.
Yeah, I think we all felt last week Cole Bishop had arrived, and then it was, okay, let's make sure that wasn't a one-week thing, and it wasn't. He was inches away from an interception early in that game, making a diving attempt at a short pass by Tua on a slant, and it just escaped his fingertips. And then, yeah, Hairston, granted, it's an arm punt by Tua, but you still got to camp yourself out under there, and you got to race Jaylen Waddle down the field for the football. He did both, and I think his early signs of high-pointing the ball have been excellent. And then you saw a little bit of his return ability after the INT.
Yeah.
So I think those are two bright spots going forward, unquestionably. So I think you got to hope that some other bright spots show up here in the very near future on the defensive side of the ball, hopefully due to improved health.
Yeah, and the offense, we'll see where things go from here. We're waiting for the news on the Dalton Kincaid hamstring injury, which, you know, I feel like there's at least enough murmuring that kind of injury is often one that it will at least skip you out for a week. Like, you don't see guys limping off, ruled out with a hamstring injury, coming back right away. If they're down Kincaid, maybe Palmer comes back, but one way or another, whoever they have out there, Chris, they've got to find answers offensively, because right now it looks like they don't have very many.
Yeah, it's troubling on that side of the ball for sure. I think we all have recognized that the passing game largely runs through Kincaid and Shakir. And over the last couple of years, when you do not have one of them, the passing game looks a little more challenging. I think back to the Houston game in week 5 last year when they didn't have Shakir. And there have been other instances like that where the offense struggles. You hope they find a way with a week's time to overcome that. To your Palmer point, he's very close to returning. He went through a very rigorous workout pregame, which gave indication he wasn't playing yesterday, but it also gives indication that he's very close to getting back. So getting him back in the fold would help make up for the void left by Kincaid. But that's your leading receiver in yardage. And I think Shakir might have the receptions lead, but he was your receiving yardage leader going into yesterday's game. So you got to find a way around that, as every team does that goes through injuries like this.
Chris Brown joining us. You know, Chris, Allen here in postgame talking about how he's got to be better. The troubling stat for, I think, the passing game was 3.53 seconds to throw, the longest since 2018 for him, as when he's dropping back and they get one-dimensional, and something Sean McDermott talks about a lot, they're one-dimensional, and they couldn't he couldn't find anybody downfield without using every bit of field he possibly could, back and forth. And we've seen that all year long, and I just don't know if if we had the answers, maybe we'd give them to the coaches. But like, what can be done here? The deadline is come and gone, and nobody's coming through that door to help this group other than maybe Gabe Davis off the practice squad. But they're going to have to find somebody. If it's Palmer, if it's anybody, if it's Shakir vertically, which actually we saw a little bit of that in this game, something's got to get going more than 10 yards down the field.
Right, and you have a couple of speed players. Granted, they're not super tall, but Curtis Samuel, I think, is a player that could be used outside a little bit more with, 4-3 speed. Moore is a little tinier in stature, so he's probably better suited for the short to intermediate stuff, and then getting yards after the catch. What you're relying on going forward now is Joe Brady's creativity. You're relying on his brain power to come up with solutions to get this passing game back to a level where opponents have to respect it to the point where maybe they're not dropping an eighth defender in the box. And maybe the most discouraging thing yesterday was while Josh had time to throw, there were also several man coverage calls by the Miami defense. So it's man on man, and it's you got to win, and they weren't winning nearly enough. And this is a secondary that, had backups in. Storm Duck, one of their best corners, is on injured reserve. We know Jalen Ramsey got traded away. I mean, it's a secondary of spare parts with Minkah Fitzpatrick. And to not get open and give Josh options on a consistent basis yesterday is a problem. And so without the cavalry coming here past the trade deadline, you're relying on Joe Brady, Aaron Kromer, and the other offensive assistants to use their collective brain power, to use creativity to come up with answers. I've been a proponent of maybe getting the backs more involved in the passing game, similar to what we saw last year. Yeah. I mean, they had 70 receptions, 8 receiving touchdowns. I think you can make some hay with that. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all solution, but it certainly is something different that you might be able to turn to. It's usually high-efficiency plays with running backs. So I'd be curious to see if they explore that going forward.
Chris, last thing for you here. Understanding that what the Bills kind of put out publicly versus what goes on internally in the locker room, those can often be different, or we don't always get a look inside the locker room. Do you feel like maybe this year we might get, starting now or soon, and maybe it's a little late, more of a feeling of urgency? Because, 6-3 is not bad, but they are really in danger this year, I want to say, as much as any other, even though they chased down Miami that one year, of not having a home playoff game. And I think that they are pretty good at being level-headed, not too high, not too low. But at some point, it feels like there should be some snap of, like, we got to wake up here. And whether McDermott delivers that message or whoever does, it feels like urgency is something the team could use.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This is the second time where we heard players after the game saying the other team, and I'm quoting Deion Dawkins directly, played harder than us. That's unacceptable in the NFL. And the players admitted that. Like Daquan Jones said, look, we get paid a lot of money to go out there and perform every single week. There is no excuse for not playing as hard or harder than the opponent. But it happened on Monday night in Atlanta. It happened yesterday in Miami against a 2-7 team that's going nowhere. So they have to find a way to recapture that, or you're right, they will be on the road for the playoffs. And, there's a part of me that wonders, too, because I think we also have to remember, and by no means am I saying that the Bills aren't capable of stacking wins, ripping off 5 straight, and getting right back into top seed contention. But the Bills and the Chiefs are the only teams in the NFL that have made the playoffs each of the last 6 years. There's a reason why. It's hard to stay at the top, number one, and it's hard to maintain the hunger and stay internally motivated every single week, year over year, in a league where the margins between the best team and the worst team are minimal. And we've seen other examples of that, right? Like Baltimore's missed the playoffs. Granted, one was because Lamar Jackson had a season-ending injury. We've seen San Francisco go to a couple of Super Bowls and then miss the playoffs. It's hard to stay up there and continue to bring the emotional and physical constitution to play top-notch, lights-out football every single week. I'm not using it as an excuse for this team, but it's a fact if you look across the league. The Bills have to recapture that motivation and urgency quickly.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. He'll be on the way coming up. One Bills Live today. And then home for the Bucks, which I haven't checked the forecast yet. Maybe I'll do that. Home for a Sunday 1 o'clock game with the Bucks. Right now looks like maybe rainy in the 50s, so not too cold as we got snow on the ground today. Thanks, Chris. We'll be listening at for One Bills Live today.
All right. Have a good one.
All right, Chris Brown. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Yeah, the forecast right now, snowing. Pretty. Nice, pretty snow. Early snow, right? It's early. We go years where it doesn't snow for a month from now. Early snow. All right, here we go. Kids get excited when it snows. The twins were in snow gear last night. Like, let's go make snowmen. I'm like, a quarter of an inch on the ground. They were excited. Monday night tonight, Philly and Green Bay. Is your Monday night game. 803-0550, Bills Bucks, all of a sudden feeling really important for common opponents with the playoff race. And if we don't get a home playoff game, like, what does that do? What kind of, like, shot across the bow is that for this group, this regime, which has just had success, gotten to a certain point? The playoffs, it's been about playoff disappointment, not too many regular season letdowns, and the first one might be coming. 803-0550, wide open the rest of the way. Get more of your calls in. Ed, Johnny, Aaron, we'll get to your calls. Give us a ring. You want to talk about receivers? You know, I'm up for it. I'm up for it. I got my growing list of rookie receivers that would add to this group. And the Waddle trade, I'll get you the results. Do you wish they did it? The report leaked by whoever. Like, the Bills were after Jalen Waddle, would have cost a first and a third, and they didn't do it because the first was in the wrong year. Should they? 803-0550 on WGR.
I am told the Bills made a run at multiple big targets within the AFC East, offering a first-round pick as part of a package to the Dolphins for wide receiver Jalen Waddle and to the Jets for defensive lineman Quinnen Williams. In fact, I am told the Bills had the highest offer for Jalen Waddle, but Miami wanted a first-round pick in 2026, not 2027, as part of the package. Ultimately, Miami decided that the Bills' offer, which also included a third-round pick in 2026, was not enough to move their star wide receiver.
Tom Pelissero. Lots of ways to discuss this one. Who wants you to know that this happened? The Bills want you to know that this happened, I would say. We tried, right? That's what this is. We tried.
I get that. But if that is true, I think they misjudged it badly.
I don't disagree with that.
I think the idea of them hoping or thinking at all that if we get reports circulating that we were this close. In fact, specifically how that is worded, because what Bills fan is hearing that going, give him the 2026 pick. What are you doing? Like, what's the difference? You're going to be this good again next year, probably, right? That's the plan. So even if you get this player, maybe you'll even be better. Assuming he's here long term, whatever, you fixed a hole on your roster. I don't think it makes sense. If it does, it's tactically amateurish from them. If they think that helps them, I think they're way wrong, because that infuriates me hearing that.
What does it do for the Dolphins, though? Does it make you feel any better if the Dolphins are telling you that we actually got this offer from Buffalo I mean, no, because if you're the Dolphins, you're a Dolphins fan, you're like, just dump everything.
Could be agents that knew it was happening. Waddle's agent knew it was happening, and they want the Bills to look stupid. I don't know, but I don't think it makes the Bills. I don't think it helps anyone who's been of the opinion that they need an upgrade at that position, because it's not actually Miami didn't want to deal with an AFC East partner. It's specific to they didn't want a 27 first, they wanted a 26 first. And I don't get why you would quibble about that if you're the Bills.
Well, to me, my strong lean would be that the Bills wanted this out, and it comes with Quinn and Williams at the same time. Maybe they have the same agents, but I don't know. Like, it's the Bills are trying to get it out there. Like, we're not as blind as you think to their fans who've been harping on this, especially wide receiver, but defensive line too, injuries,
yep,
same thing. Like, well, they won't trade with us. And, you know, you're making the right point, like what year it is, everything like this. But, hey, it's how the Sabres talk. You know, just like, this is, we wanted to do this, but we weren't able to, palm trees, et cetera. And it's kind of amazing that might be where we're at here. And I've given Bean a lot of credit for being a player when it comes to trades. But this is a combination of shying away or just misreading the room. It's Darcy, kind of.
I could really see them thinking Miami or the Jets refused to make a trade with a team in the – they didn't want to help the Bills. Okay. Like, we heard some of that late in the week. I mean, Bean said it himself, right? And that, I think, could – be viewed. I would also just view it as more excuse making. I mean, what's the objective? The objective here is to get the job done, right? Some way, somehow, get the job done. So any not getting the job done is some version of a failure. But if you want to tell me that you thought you had a fair compensation package, but the Dolphins said, you know what, at the end of the day, I don't want to do this with you because I don't want to be in the business of helping you. Sort of like how we want the Bills to be about the Chiefs, right? Back in the 24 draft. Don't give them your pick so they can pick a guy ahead of you. Don't do that. Okay, I would respect that more. I still would think it's a failure. But the specifics on this are what have me leaning that it would not make sense that the Bills would want that out there. Because, again, what's the difference? From out here, any criticism of Bean not getting the job done is not going to be buffered by, well, they wanted a 26 instead of a 27, so I had to walk away. Oh, good job, Bills GM. What? No, to me, that doesn't make sense. I think it hurts them more than it helps them in this department.
Here's Justin with us. Hi. Justin. Not ready. Michael, go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. I just had two quick things. Question. Didn't see Dorian Williams out there at all. They had a low snap count. I don't know if he was nicked or not, but I thought he's a pretty good run thumper, and he's a pretty athletic guy. But my second point is something. I just think that they're a tired football team. I think long playoff runs for 5 years, primetime games. We're building a new stadium. You're the top seed after week two. We're playing the Chiefs in the last game there. The MVP, the Hard Knocks. To me, they are a tired football team. And I think, you know, maybe I'm crazy, or maybe it's just the edge or the hunger's down a little bit. But I say play a second place schedule, reload, and then come back and cream everybody, because it doesn't they're not playing with the same edge. They were very good against Kansas City, they were great against Carolina, but all these injuries that they're suffering and having to shuffle people around and moving people on and off the roster, it's just I don't think that they're gonna if people think they got to go 5-3 to make it in at 10-7, I'm not saying I'd make that bet, because they got some tough games coming up. Philadelphia, you know, I mean, Pittsburgh's not good, but going to Pittsburgh, Houston's got the best defensive line, front seven in football. And I don't know. I just think when I see it, blocking, missing Osias Lawrence 2 weeks in a row, give somebody a free run at the quarterback for not checking the inside guy. I don't know. Maybe it's crazy to say that there's fatigue or there's tired, but to me, they just seem like they don't have that edge that they normally do. And maybe they'll get it back. But maybe the quarterback's feeling not a lot of confidence in the offensive coordinator or his personnel that's around him.
Okay.
Who knows?
Okay.
But I'm done. I'm sorry if I was verbose.
You're done.
No, you're good. You're done. All good. Dorian Williams, interesting. 3 defensive snaps.
Yeah. By the way, I'm saying that I thought he was like, I'm done with the season, but maybe he was just saying, I'm done talking.
Yeah, I think that's...
I was not saying, you're also done talking. Okay.
Right. I don't know what happened there with Williams. I was sort of curious. We talked to Eric Wood about this last week when we knew Michael Hoyt was going to be out. And again, if you didn't hear Mike say it already earlier, Eric will be with us on Wednesday, not today, in his usual spot. But he suggested Dorian Williams is maybe a potential, guy to step into the Hoyt role, rushing from the inside on obvious passing downs. I'm quite sure that 3 snaps on defense indicate that they did not use him in that way.
I would say, just to the reasonable enough overall point there, is you are also saying that you recognize they were great last Sunday, 8 days ago. And what I think you end up saying here is, they're not going to be at their best every week. And I would just say that's everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not unusual. That's normal for a team to be like that. I think what happened yesterday is normal in this league. Find me a team that's impervious to that. It's not Kansas City. Like, what team is impervious to that? Nobody's so good. And the Bills have been as close as it gets to being a team that is able to avoid those games. And maybe times are different because yesterday happened, but it isn't so alarming to me because this is normal in the NFL. It's possible that some of those things are going to make life harder for them. I'm not sure the stadium has to be one of those things, because I'm not sure how that would affect anybody other than traffic patterns ever. But, you know, yes, they play in prime time a lot. Yes, they've had not the longest, but some playoff, you know, runs, quote runs. There's 2 games a run. I don't know. The bottom line, I think, with this is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to rest good players? No.
Yeah,
you can't do anything about it.
No, you go and you live with the fact that enough of your guys weren't at their best yesterday, and you hope that doesn't happen too often. Because it does happen to every team, mostly every year. And it's happened to this team every year. I mean, we had earlier this year, it's another 2-game losing streak. That's happened every year. I don't know if either of those games, the Atlanta game was maybe more like this game yesterday. I mean, it's a 6-point difference in the outcome, basically, or 5, whatever. That was 24-14. Another touchdown, it's almost the same score as yesterday. But I think you just have to get through that. I don't know if the caller is suggesting they're tired permanently now or something, but to me, I'd expect them to be back. But, you know, the opponent to me should be a lot harder next week than what yesterday should have been.
And it's a home game, but, you know, harder. I would agree. Can't you always do this too? I probably said the same thing earlier. We were talking about Tampa. But Miami and New England played a nail biter. New England and Tampa played a nail biter. Maybe the Dolphins are not that different from the Bucs. Here's Trevor next. Hi. Whoa.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Longtime caller here. And I just want to say this. After that Atlanta game, I called. All due respect, you guys gave me my razor rant, if you will. And but it cut me off by saying it's not even Halloween yet, but it's looking scary like Halloween right now with the fact that none of our receivers can get open, and that's a tired story right there. But solution. This morning, I was thinking Mike McDaniel as our offensive coordinator. Dable's fired. We need to bring him back. The Bills seem to love bringing back all the old-timers. Bring back Dable.
Are we cutting you off now, or are you good? If we stop now, if we just take the point? Okay. It's an obvious point. It's an obvious take that frustrated Bills fans are going to have in spades today. Right, it's sitting in your lap.
Yep.
Would anybody want it? Would it be good for Brian Daboll to just immediately, no time to waste, right? Like, just shift over to Buffalo take over the offense? Brady's out if you do that. I mean, I don't think any of the Bills would want it. Maybe.
if he's just like going to volunteer his time, the check's probably pretty good getting fired by the Giants. Go on TV, go to the beach, and then your profile only goes up. Instead of coming here and doing whatever this is, trying to make it work with, is this what the caller said? Receivers who can't get open? Why, if I'm Brian Daboll and I just finally been ousted from the Giants, would I want that for 5 seconds? No, you don't take that job, if there even is one. Get away. Collect your money, regroup, and then in the offseason, you'll probably have 10 mm-hmm. offers to be somebody's
offensive
whatever.
Coordinator, I would think. Yeah.
Like, if it happens, yeah. Good for them, but it's nuts to me.
Yeah, I get it from you're explaining the Daboll side of it. If for some reason he wants to do it, I would do it. Special offensive, this whatever it is. You can bet the main reason I was all for airing Sean McDermott today, you know, we don't have Eric Woods, so there's a spot there, but, you know, whatever. We could have just kept doing what we're doing already for those 20 minutes. I just want to hear how he answers that question because I'm sure he's going to be asked.
I was wondering
about Brian Daboll, and I'm curious.
You've said that twice. I was wondering if he would get that question. You think it's a given?
I think it would be insane to consider a 15 or 20 minute Sean McDermott media session today that doesn't include that.
Well, you know, he gets a lot of.
He might blow right past it. Like,
how
just
was
with
your flight home? Questions?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be stunned if it doesn't come up.
I hope you're right.
So I do too. But I would want to look into it if I'm the Bills. I don't know if Daboll, you know, everything you just said is completely valid. But that doesn't say anything about what my needs are. And if the Bill, I know it'd be awkward for Joe Brady. You know what else is awkward for Joe Brady? Having an offense where the MVP of the league is running around like Fran Tarkenton with his face mask backwards. Like, this is not working. Their passing offense is ridiculously bad. When they need it, they do not have it. So
McDermott is culpable in that. I think. I mean, maybe we've argued about this before, to what extent, but this is what they wanted. They wanted better players. They wanted healthy Josh Palmer and healthy Kincaid and, you know, for the division to roll over for them again. Guess that's maybe changing, but I think they want – look at the personnel. I mean, all of it points to the same thing. We saw it last year, the 30 points per game, the bean point, all of it. Like, there was successful playing this way, and – you know, yesterday they got beat, you know, just simply they got beat. They couldn't get James Cook like last year in Miami, like every other time against, oh, he's from Miami. He's going to just have the Achan game, 200 yards, something like that. And it did not happen. And when that doesn't happen to these Bills, they struggle.
Yeah, they don't have anything if they don't have that.
What is plan B? Without Kincaid, without their prized offseason receiver get? What are they?
And with Coleman playing like crazy.
What are they? That's right. That's what's scary. I don't think Brian Daboll fixes that in, like, no time. How much time do you get? What do you want him to do? Do you want him to rewrite the playbook?
Right.
On November 11th?
There's not a lot of – it's not that – it's an idea that will appeal to everyone, like you said, and I would look into it, but I don't know how much you could expect results to change because he's here.
I think Daboll – has, this can wait. I think he has an New York Giants coach. I mean, pretty high profile guy. One coach of the year. I mean, he can make money off that. He can go to Fox right now. Because the Giants are always so bad that you kind of look like a victim here a little bit. Not in every way. I mean, I'm not saying he is in every way, but it was like his record's terrible. But I don't know. He's sort of an interesting personality.
The record's terrible and...
Go laugh at Howie Long's jokes.
The quarterback has played seven games, eight games. He's been evaluated for concussions four times already.
Go be humble. Go laugh at Howie Long's jokes and, you know, make a few extra million on the side. Then in the offseason, see what, figure out what you want to do. What do you think of that theory? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is Football Monday on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.